Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Willem Wellner speaking, CEO of Deutsche EuroShop, and I'm here together with my CFO, Olaf Borkers, and Patrick Kiss, our head of IR. Thank you for joining our call on the preliminary results of 2015. Let's start with the basis of our business. That's the operation on page two. The like-for-like total retail turnover of our tenants in Germany followed the same trend as in the first three quarters of the year 2015. We saw, again, a more or less flat development in numbers, a minus of 0.2%. In more detail, we can report that the following segments showed a good growth. Services turned out to be the strongest, with a plus of 3.3%, followed by healthcare and beauty with plus 2.9%. Additionally, food catering turned out nicely with a plus of 2.4%, and electronics also showed a positive growth contribution with 0.8%. On the other hand, some segments showed decreasing turnovers, as one could already see developing over the year. Fashion textile turnover decreased by 1.4%. However, this is a slight improvement from minus 1.6 in Q3. After the very peculiar winter weather until end of 2015, that is almost no winter weather at all, we had expected this number to be potentially lower than in Q3. However, some fashion retailers started already very early with their sales season to mitigate the weather influence, some already in early December. So we have to see what this special situation means for their Q1 turnovers 2016. But let's continue with the turnover analysis by segment. Shoes came out with a minus 2.8%, and also sports showed a small decline of 0.5%. The department stores improved slightly to a level of minus 1.9%. In Q3, this number was still minus 2.3%, but they are still losing some turnover. So overall, the picture concerning the tenant sales looks as follows. We are again happy to observe that our centers abroad in Poland, Hungary and Austria showed positive numbers. For the full year 2015, the like-for-like retail turnover there was a plus 1.5%. For the Deutsche EuroShop Group, that means that the overall like-for-like tenant sales were unchanged. Looking now at the total tenant sales, so leaving aside the like-for-like adjustments, we saw basically also no change in Germany, a minus 0.1%, and a plus of 2.8% abroad. So the overall tenant sales increased by 0.3% in all Deutsche EuroShop centers. As a result, and as before, the rent-to-sales ratio stood again stable at a level of 9.1% for the portfolio. Footfall development was a little better than in 2014. However, also in 2015, we saw, together with a general trend, slightly decreasing numbers. Let's now have a look at our tenant base and the developments in 2015 on page 3. While all the names of our top 10 team were stable, this year one can detect some changes in the order. But these changes are rather technical, resulting from M&A activities on the retailer side. The proportion of rent we charge to our top 10 tenants in comparison to our total rent decreased by 3 percentage points to now 21.7%. With the exit of Thalia, the bookstore chain of the Douglas Group, which now represents only the perfume stores, moved down from place 2 to place 4. Also, the dependency towards the Metro Group decreased visibly by approximately 1 percentage point due to the sale of Kaufhof to Hudson Bay. All in all, and as before, a very solid structure and composition. On page 4, we've provided the maturity profile of our lease agreements. With more than 6 years of rental income supported by lease contracts, we feel very comfortable going forward. After this information for the operation, let's come now to the preliminary numbers for 2015. And I would like to approach them from a top-down perspective and benchmarking them with our guidance on page 5. Total revenues increased to 202.9 million euro, and on a like-for-like basis, these revenues grew to 201.6 million euro. So we are again with our, in our target range of 201 to 204 million. EBIT was 176.3 million, hence also in the communicated range of 174 million-177 million. The same is true for the EBT, excluding valuation, with 127 million. The range here was 126 million-129 million. Let's go through the P&L in more detail. As just said, revenue increased by 1% in total, or on a like-for-like basis by 0.4%. The difference is due to reclassification of special mall income items from the other operating income, where it had been the years before, to now revenues in an amount of roughly 1.3 million euro. This change results from a new regulation under IFRS. The total operating and management costs were slightly higher, an amount of 0.3 million euro, mainly due to higher non-distributable operational costs and some higher provisions for rent payments, what we have also communicated before. These higher costs were partially offset by lower maintenance costs, and now with 9.6%, the overall cost ratio stayed around the level of 2014. All those effects resulted then in an increase of the NOI by 1.7 million to now 183.5 million euro, which was, of course, also partially affected by the reclassification of the special mall income. Also for the same reason, the other operating income decreased by 1.1 million to a level of now 0.8 million euro. Corporate costs increased by 1.8 million to 8 million. This rather exceptional increase came to a larger extent from a provision in amount of 1 million resulting from the acquisition of the Karstadt building in Dessau. As communicated before, this Karstadt building is an integral and conceptual part of our shopping center there, and we acquired the building in a forward purchase structure for the purpose of securing the joint and coordinated management of both properties in the future. Also, as communicated before, the other part of the increase came from the positive development of Deutsche EuroShop's share price that led to a higher than normal personal cost in connection with the share price-related long-term incentive plan for employees and management. This first five-year LTI plan expired in June 2015. As a result, the total EBIT came out with 176.3 million, which is, due to the described extraordinary items, 0.7% lower than previous year. Let's now come to the net financing costs. They amount now to 2.1 million. The substantial decrease resulted mainly from the much improved at-equity result, which contributed 68.4 million to the financing cost. Here, the main effect came from the valuation gain of the shopping centers that we partially own through joint venture companies, which are accounted for by applying the at-equity method. The valuation gain here amounted 47.2 million in comparison to 12.7 million euro in 2014. We'll see that in more detail in the bridges. Low interest costs for one loan that was rolled over in 2015 and regular amortization payments contributed an interest saving of 2.6 million, and a positive effect from a P&L relevant swap contributed another 2.3 million to the reduced financing cost. Probably more interestingly, now let's come to the valuation gains of our shopping centers. Some general words at the beginning. The year 2015 again proved that the demand for good quality shopping centers continued to be very high. Correspondingly, prices have again increased substantially with a yield shift of approximately 40-50 basis points on average for such high-quality assets. These developments are also the main driver for the appreciation of our assets in 2015. The valuation gain of our consolidated assets after minorities contributed 220.6 million euro to the overall profits. Here, just for information purposes, to get the total proportional valuation gain of Deutsche EuroShop for 2015, one would have to add to this the amount of valuation gain of the at-equity companies of 47.2 million, which are part of the financing costs. Then you would end up with a total gain of 267.8 million euro, which is roughly what we have released early January this year already. We are, of course, very happy to see these substantial valuation gains. However, just for the purpose of good order, I would like to point out that such effects are, of course, non-realized and non-cash relevant, and they are now and can be most presumably very volatile also in the future. This is to a large extent also due to external factors which we cannot influence and which can work both ways, e.g., may at one point in time also result into substantial unrealized valuation losses in times of properly generally falling shopping center prices. So while we very much appreciate the new valuation, we as a company focus more on our income and FFO numbers in this respect. However, as valuation is a very important topic, we have prepared some separate slides for valuation results, which we will show in a moment. But first, I want to sum up the overall picture for the group. The EBT, including valuation, was up by 84%, now standing at 394.7 million euro, with taxes of 85.4 million euro, which are mainly higher due to the increase of the deferred tax liabilities relating from such valuation gains. The consolidated profit increased by 74% to 309.3 million euro. But now let's look into more detail in the valuation result on page 7 of the presentation. For the investment properties, the total revaluation result was 285.4 million compared to 88.3 million last year. After the acquisition cost of the Karstadt in Dessau and the subtraction of the proportion of the valuation gain that belongs to our minority partners, e.g. an amount of 64.4 million, the valuation gain of the investment properties attributable to DES shareholders amounts to 220.6 million. The deferred tax on this valuation gain is 46.6 million euro, leading to an after-tax profit contribution of 173.9 million euro. The corresponding number of last year was 62 million euro. On page 8, we now come to the underlying major valuation parameters that have been applied by our valuators, Jones Lang LaSalle. And let me first say some words to their methodology. For the valuation, Jones Lang ran a discounted cash flow model, which is based on a detailed and bottom-up 10-year business plan for each center. Rents and costs are derived by Jones Lang from the existing rental and service contracts and, especially for future periods, from JLL's own expertise. All cash flows of the 10-year period are discounted with a discount interest rate. Additionally, the exit value at the end of that period is derived through the capitalization of the stabilized cash flow at the end of the detailed planning period with the capitalization interest rate. Now important, all discount and capitalization rates were derived by Jones Lang LaSalle individually for each center from recent and comparable market transactions. This methodology is a very common standard today. So on the first chart, you see for our portfolio the development of the weighted average of the net operating income yield, which is NOI divided by the market value that was determined, and also the net initial yield, which is the NOI divided by the sum of the market value plus acquisition cost of a potential buyer. For periods before 2015, the numbers you see here came from our former valuator, Ferry and GfK Geomarketing. For 2015, you see the numbers JLL have come up with, and you will detect that for our portfolio, the average yield compression of the net initial yield was 40 basis points, just along with the investment market. According to JLL, the average weighted NOI yield for our portfolio now stands at 5.46%, and the net initial yield at 5.30%. To show you the sensitivity of the valuation results to changes of the main value drivers of such valuations, we have provided you with a table at the bottom of this page. And as you can see, and as you also would expect, the sensitivity is the highest for changes in the assumptions of the rent developments and the discount and capitalization rates. So after this elaborations on the valuation results, we would like now come to the bridges, starting on page 9. And here you see very easy to follow that the revenue saw an increase of 2.1 million or 1% to now 202.9 million. Part of such difference was attributable to the reclassification of the special mall income that I have referred to earlier. And the like-for-like growth accounted for 0.8 million euro or 0.4%. A rather moderate development, but still just slightly above inflation. The bridge for the financial result you will find on page 10. Financing costs were 37.7 million lower than last year. Following the steps of this bridge from the left, you can see that the interest cost developed nicely, being 2.5 million lower in than 2014. A P&L relevant swap contributed another 2.8 million to that change. So that leads us already to the main deviation, that is the change in the at equity result. Here the difference comes to a very large extent from the valuation result in 2015, which was approximately 34.5 million higher than last year. Lastly, the minority profit share increased slightly by 0.9 million, along with the increase of the general result. So the net financing cost came in with minus 2.1 million euro. Let's come to the EBT bridge on page 11. EBT moved up substantially by 180 million to now 394.7 million euro. Again, valuation was the main driver behind that change, contributing 178.1 million, and the remainder resulted from the increase in the operating profit by 1.9 million, which is 1.6%. Finally, now let's come to the profit bridge on page 12, which looks a little similar than the EBT bridge with a very dominating valuation effect, of course. Here the individual changes can be commented as follows. One effect was a one-off tax item that was relevant in 2014 in the amount of 7.2 million. The explanation here, in 2014 the company profited from a reversal of trade tax provisions as we were able to change the tax structure for one center in this financial year. Furthermore, the valuation result after tax was 136.4 million higher than last year, and the operations contributed 2.7 million or 2.7% to the overall increase of the EBT by 131.9 million. Sorry, by the profit, not the EBT. On page 13, we now show the effects on our earnings. With IFRS earnings of a total of 101.8 million euro and an unchanged number of shares of 53.9 million, the undiluted EPS are now at 1.89 euro. This is an increase of 5 cents or 2.7%. The total earnings per share increased from 3.29 to 5.73 euro. And now let's come to the important FFO numbers. Please follow me to page 14. Our FFO for 2015 was 123.4 million, which is 2.8 million higher than last year. On a per share basis, the FFO grew by from 2.23 to 2.29 euro, which is a plus of 2.7%. And here we already see some positive impact from the lower financing cost. Now let's come to the balance sheet on page 15. The dominant effect comparing 2014 with the preliminary numbers of 2015 comes, of course, also from the mainly from the valuation gain and the increased values of the investment properties and the at-equity participations. These non-current assets increased by 348 million euro. Furthermore, a good operational cash flow contributed to an increase in the current assets by 11.6 million. Liquidity as part of the current assets improved by 12.4 million euro. The group entity increased by 309.8 million and the minority share by 66.2 million euro, both also mainly due to the valuation gain. Financial debt was lower by some 22.5 million, resulting from the regular amortization of the consolidated loans. On the other hand, the deferred tax liabilities increased substantially, also mainly in connection with the unrealized valuation gains, of course. And the other liabilities were 9.9 million lower. The major effect here was a reduction of the negative market values of the interest rate swaps that we have. So, all in all, our balance sheet presents itself even stronger. Our equity ratio improved nicely by approximately 3 percentage points to now 53.5%, and our LTV came down from 40 to 35.5%. On that basis, the EPRA net asset value is presented on page 16. And the net asset value improved substantially in line with the profit and the valuation result. And the EPRA NAV per share now stands at 39.12 euro after 33.17 at the end of 2014. This is an increase of approximately 6 euro per share or 18%. On page number 17, we now want to give you some more information on our debt. Of our consolidated bank debt, some 400 million becomes due in the next 5 years. So if we stay for longer in such low inflation and interest rate environment, we'll still have good room for visible reduction in our interest cost over the next years. The legacy findings are therefore the only reason for our, compared to today's level, still rather high interest rates of 3.69%. On page 18, we'll find a more detailed maturity profile of the corresponding interest rates on that debt. This should enable you to project the potential of future refinancings by yourself. And for information, in year 2017, you will see the expiration of our convertible bond. So in respect of numbers, I would like to end with our forecast for 2016 and 17 on page number 19. We've repeatedly elaborated on the development of the German and European Consumer Price Index, and now again it proves to be true that inflation remains to be very low. Just recently, the ECB reduced the inflation expectation for 2016 substantially. Taking such expectations into account, we expect more or less stable rents for 2016 and 2017. However, we also consider the positive effects from the low interest rate environment going forward. So looking from today's point of view, we confirm our previously given guidance for 2016. That is, we expect revenues of 200 to 204 million euro, leading to an expected EBIT of 175 to 179. And an EBIT before valuation and taxes of 127 to 130 million euro. This should lead to an FFO per share in the range of 226 to 230. For 2017, we expect slightly increasing revenues in the range of 201 to 205 million euro and a stable EBIT of 175 to 179 million euro. The EBIT before valuation and taxes should increase by approximately 3% to 131 and 134 million euro, with a similar growth of the FFO per share to a range of 234 to 238 per euro. Regarding the dividend, we stick to our plan of distributing 135 euro per share for 2015, just as we have communicated before. Summarizing that topic, the continued very low inflation is now rather visible in the top line growth. However, looking forward, also the positive opportunities on the refinancing side should work their way into the P&L. Let me now come to the topic of investments, and first off to our internal growth. We are happy to report that the Phoenix Center extension in Hamburg was now opened successfully last week on time and budget, and we're positive that it will be enjoyed and much used by our customers there. And for our shopping center, Galeria Bałtycka, the building permit procedure continues to be a little vicious. We recently saw a little of a standstill in the process, which we think was attributable to the outcome of the Polish elections, which obviously put many local authorities somehow on hold. However, we now achieved the required environmental permit for the execution of preparatory works, which enables us to drive the process further. Now looking into the investment market in general, and as mentioned earlier, in connection with our valuation results, we expect that the market stays very hot, but that the current pricing might facilitate a decent deal flow, which we will carefully observe. Currently, we are evaluating one property in detail, which fulfills our investment criteria. The center would well fit into our existing portfolio, but we still have to get it and to work on that. So far, my presentation on the preliminary numbers for 2015 and our guidance for 2016 and 17. Thank you for listening. I'm happy to take your questions. And yeah, I already wish you now happy Easter coming soon for all of us. So, operator, please go ahead.
And the first question is from the line of Michael Veraldo of Société Générale. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. Is it possible to have a split between Germany and abroad? I think it is Poland in terms of rents for 2015, the 202.9 million euro. This is my first question. The second question is about your guidance, which seems very, very cautious. For example, how is it possible to have only 200 million euro in rents in this year versus 202.9? That means 1.4% decrease. Do you expect to have more vacancy? Do you expect to have lower rents for a negative reversionary potential or something like this? Could you give a little more color about this, please?
Yeah, let me first maybe start with the last question. In the overall revenue line, you see many items, also some one-offs or some penalties if some tenants leave, let's say, earlier than it was agreed in the contract. And we had some insolvencies this year, like Weltbild or Madonna, and we could achieve some extraordinary revenues, but they are still considered as revenues. So this might look a little different. So we expect... unfortunately at the moment, but the tenant market is rather tough. We expect stable rents, not decreasing rents for the time being, and with low inflation, only a little effect coming out of that. So it's a little bit of extraordinary items this year that probably mislead you in your judgment than looking into next year.
Okay.
To be honest, on the question how to deviate between the Polish market and the German market, I would be happy if you could repeat it. But let me say one third. We only can increase the rents I wouldn't call it slowly, but only if the rents come up for releasing. And of course, our Polish center is a big contributor of our international income. But in Gdansk, as we have told you before, informed you before, we are planning really a big extension in the next years. So at the moment, many of those leases are not up for releasing. So we hope to see a bigger effect once we have the building permit and for the extension, and there then also take on all the existing or upcoming releases and hope to see a good reversion there. So it would be a little misleading to see what really Gdansk would be bringing in 2017 isolated. Yeah, you always have to wait that the leases come up, which goes in waves a little bit. Every 10 years they come up. So but if you probably would be a little more precise, I can try to answer it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay?
Okay, it's okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Ruth van Manen of ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Hello there, gentlemen. Thank you for the presentation. My first question relates to the like-for-like numbers for the full year. 0.4% for the first 9 months, it was 0.9%, I believe. So is it really true that the fourth quarter would have a negative like-for-like in this case, or is there other effects?
Yeah, as I said, we have some one-offs that you can try to, or extraordinary items that you can try to plan, and then the outcome is you only see in the fourth quarter, like these special effects. On the other hand, you have turnover rents that you try to calculate as good as possible, but this is a complicated task, so the turnover contribution or turnover rent contribution you only see in the last quarter. So there could be, as we said, the sales weren't that good in the fourth quarter. There could be an effect coming out of that.
Ah, that could be it. Regarding department stores, over the past many years, the turnover has declined in this area. What are the expiries on these rental contracts, and are you concerned that the rent level would get too high on this part of the portfolio?
I'd say we own very little property adjacent or integrated in our shopping centers where we have department stores. So let's start with the one that we have bought in Dessau, Karstadt. We have agreed on a new mid to long term contract, and we have seen there, let's say, a market rent as of today. So we wouldn't expect any rents to see lower rents there. The other properties we have in our nice shopping center in the Main-Taunus Zentrum, we have a Kaufhof and a Karstadt, and they are running long term. That is, almost 10 years, but there's upside potential on both of those. Yeah, but this is something for the far future. And the others, to be honest, most of them are owned by other investors, and they are somehow connected to our building, but really do not belong to us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Regarding the investment market activity, what currently do you see happening in terms of yield compression or the quality of the products that are for sale?
Yeah, I told you last year that we saw much bigger deal flow than 2013. So that was true for 2014. But we, at least from our looking from our criteria, we didn't see too many good deals, put it that way. So we bid on very little. So what we hear in the market, what is coming, we hope to see and we expect to see more quality deals that would fit into our portfolio. This is a guess, it's probably a good guess, but that's where we think we probably have a better chance at least to bid on something when we believe in the quality. Pricing, to be honest, I think we are on a very high level, but I wouldn't rule out that for trophy shopping centers or very good ones, the pricing is going higher. My little fear is that even for B locations, so A quality centers, but at B locations, even the compression goes a little further. So, but we have to see. It's unfortunately, it's not such a transparent market that you can watch it on a screen, but I expect it to yield compression to go a little further.
Yes. My last question relates to your current leverage level. Well, you have seen a major revaluation. Looking at the yields now in the portfolio, they are comparable to 2006-2007 levels. But interest rates are lower. You mentioned that, well, yield compression might go on further, so the loan-to-value on a like-for-like basis might also decline. What would be your preferred route going forward with current LTV or maybe even lower? Would it be stepping into new countries, possibly returning capital to shareholders, or do you are more likely to be defensively financed and wait a little bit longer before opportunities would arise?
Yeah, let's start with your last point. It's, of course, always good to be defensively financed, but I think we are now at a level where we are defensive enough. But you see such a valuation effect quickly puts you 3, 4, 5 basis points up and down. So if we would have, let's say, some kind of shock event, it's good to have a little reserve into that. And I think we're being a real estate listed company, 35% to 40% is a good range. But having said that, if we look into acquisitions, up to a cash position of roughly 100 and a little plus million, we, of course, wouldn't want to go to the market for new equity. I think this could be done with just financing. We furthermore stretch a little our financings. When we now refinance, we ask for more amortization-free periods at the beginning. So we try to, this is a little micromanagement, but we try to do that. And we feel rather comfortable with within 35 and 40. So we hope to manage that a little bit with a nice acquisition going forward. And if it's a bigger acquisition, so a number much higher than I just would mention, we could also finance this property then with a little higher debt ratio, like 50%, and manage the overall level a little bit like that. Yeah. I think we're not at a state of thinking about a buyback of shares. We rather still look for property. And with 35, that's probably too early, 35%.
And looking at other geographies within Europe and your current presence?
Yeah, I think the four countries we are in now, we are now adding the Czech Republic. I think this is where we feel very comfortable. Of course, we always look into other countries for opportunities. There are sometimes there, but nothing has convinced us. So we look into our core countries, put it that way, and we are open for opportunities elsewhere. But not just for the purpose of growth. It really needs to fit. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Those were my questions.
Next question is from the line of Thomas Effler of BHF Bank.
Yeah, good morning, sirs. Two questions, if I may. First one on your clients. Can you elaborate a little bit on the first 2 months, how you see the development in the fashion and shoe segment is from the weather side and from the competition side? Do you expect that to continue the declining demand in this segment? And the second one on your acquisition target, probably get more flavor. Is that kind of a core investment you're looking for or a kind of more development project?
Again, let me start with the last one. It's an easy answer. No, it's really core. Cool. It's a very stabilized project or shopping center. And with the textile numbers, yeah, this is where we are still a little open. And we get the numbers from our all of our tenants only quarterly, so they do not report monthly. But as the Q1 call is not too far down the road, we are sure that we then can report. But it will be interesting to see. I mean, you hear and read a little or a lot about some retailers. I think they are in a phase now of adjusting from a fast growth phase into a little consolidation phase. You probably have heard that Tom Taylor, Gary Weber, all they want to shut down shops in numbers of 100 or so. We have checked with them so far, and none of those shops are in our shopping centers. So, which is a good sign that they are in very highly frequented places and that the numbers in our centers are good for there. Good for them, and they are in the normal phase of probably adjusting this fast growth phase. But to be honest, I do not expect tremendously well numbers for the first quarter. Again, if you look outside the weather and with the effects coming from Q4 2015, yeah, the early sales, we might see not so nice numbers there. But I wouldn't be panicking here. It's just a development that we have to further watch.
Okay, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Gord Kandes of Bankhaus Lampe.
Good morning from Düsseldorf. I have only one question regarding here this Dessau property acquisition. As there were previously plans to close down this this department store, how long is your rental contract on this property and what is the rental income from it?
We have agreed that it's a single talent, let's say, project, so we cannot comment on the exact number, but it's a midterm term. Yeah, I can say that. And it's a rather low rent. That's why we make a small provision, because we thought it's good to keep Karstadt there for the time being at that space, see how they develop, and take an overall picture of the overall property. So it was a give and take there, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's more important for you to keep to have this property available.
Exactly, and jointly manage. Yeah, okay. You probably have seen all in the pedestrians those empty, hairy buildings and other Karstadts, and nobody wants to have such a building right next to a center which is open into that building. So we thought it's a good idea to keep Karstadt in the first place, and probably in the mid and longer term to use the space for something else, which perfectly fits to our center in Dessau. It's a little defensive investment, but I think it was wise to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Next question is from the line of Jochen Rotenbacher of Equinet Bank. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. I have three questions, one on interest rate cost reductions for 2016 and 17 or the next years. Could you please elaborate a little bit how much further down you could get in this respect? Secondly, on your dividend policy, you in recent years increased the dividend by 5 cents per year. Do you have a roadmap for the next few years in this respect? And the third question is on your assumptions for the guidance for 2017 in terms of rent development, in terms of inflation and turnover rent.
Yeah. I will hand over for the interest rate to my colleague here, Olaf Borkers, and I take the other two questions first. For the dividend policy, we will discuss with our supervisory board in the regular next meeting the dividend policy. We'll come up with that then after that, so most presumably when we talk about the Q1 numbers. So you will get a new guidance there. With the rent assumptions for 2016 and 17, we have incorporated inflation of roughly 25 basis points. But you should know that we have a moving average system here, that it's not exactly year by year that you can calculate it, but every second year on average the rents are adjusted, but we think in that range, or we expect the inflation in that range. I would be happy to see a little higher, but that's what the underlying is.
Okay, and rent development and turnover rents?
Yeah, that's with stable rents, put it that way.
Okay.
And this is quite, in Germany, putting that way, we more than 90% of our portfolio is in Germany, and new spaces come to the market, we have e-commerce, and within that frame, our tenants have stable turnovers, which is the good news. Yeah, nobody's losing too much. We have sector issues like textile. They need to work on their e-commerce strategy and so on, so these are normal transformations and adjustments, but we are stable. And with a stable cost ratio, or rent to sales ratio, put it that way, this is basically where you preserve your rents. That's basically grow a little bit with a little inflation, and then look then forward. Yeah, but for the next 2 years, the effect is really coming out of financing with stable rents, put it that way.
Okay.
Our expectations.
Okay. Coming to the interest situation and our debt situation. As you can see on slide 18, we have agreed for some new loans in summer this year, 2.18 for 15 years in Austria and 1.8 for Germany for the Phoenix Center in Harburg. Meanwhile, interest rates are even lower, 20 to 30 basis points, and we hope to use this for financing, which we are currently negotiating. That is what you also can see on slide 18. That is a roughly 80 million euro loan for the Galeria Baltica. Current interest rate 4.9%, and the current indication for the new interest rate is just 1.7%. So we will have a positive impact, I would say, in the next years. And seeing what we have already agreed and assuming that for the Galeria Baltica financing we can agree on 2% for the 10-year period, we expect that our interest cost will reduce by yearly 2.5 million euros in 2016 and 2017. And as you can see, the big bulk of maturities will happen in 2019 to 2021. Interest rates are at 4.5%, and we will start the first negotiations for those loans end of this year, and hope for getting better, far better financing.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Next question is from the line of Manuel Martin of Otto Seidler. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Three questions, if I may. One question is, I compared a bit your revenues and your FFO per share. I saw that your revenues came out at the lower end of your guidance and your FFO 1 per share. Surprisingly good, a bit over the top of your guidance range. What helped there? What was the issue there? Could you give me some hint on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's lower financing costs, the effects, but it's also, one shouldn't forget, the cash tax that we pay. We pay very little, but we have to estimate it over the year, but it's only in detail calculated, and we're only able to calculate it really at the end of the year. So a 500,000 difference in the cash tax that we pay makes up 1 cent. Yeah, so and if you probably would expect it in line with the top line, the deviation is probably 1 million, which is 2 cents per share.
Mm-hmm.
So I just smile a little bit. We are rather good predictable, but we are not like an absolute wand, you know. And this is something you have to bear in mind.
Okay. My second question is regarding possible acquisition. I don't know how large your acquisition would be, but is it fair to assume that you would need a capital increase given your financing requirements to acquire a new center?
I really couldn't comment on that at the moment, but as I said, if it's a mid and smaller one, we would do it without, and if it's a bigger one, we would have to do a capital increase, but I cannot comment on any activity there.
Okay. Last center is regarding Hamburg. We saw the news that that there is a new shopping center construction planned in Hamburg, a huge one. How could this affect your Phoenix center and Billstedt center in Hamburg? Any idea on that?
Yeah, we do have ideas. We even have, let's say, from some specialist reports on that, and this is probably what you have seen in the news. I mean, it's a huge center that is being planned there, and it will have some effect. I mean, Hamburg is growing. Retail sales are not growing that much as population is growing, so it will be a bit of a shifting of, let's say, turnovers towards that big center. The three centers that we own in Hamburg, in and around Hamburg, one in the north, the Norderstedt, one in the east, that's Billstedt, and the Phoenix center in the south, we probably expect Norderstedt not to feel very much. This is more a local shopping center for the people there. For the Phoenix center being in the south, we don't expect too much, to be honest, because there's still the River Elbe in between, and we just have one big bridge, or two bridges if you want, and one tunnel crossing over that. So this is probably what we could see a little on the weekends if people really go there, but no dramatic effect. And on the Billstedt Center, it could be the effect could probably from the three the biggest. However, the people that live in Billstedt are not absolutely typically the potential customers of that new shopping center there. However, as I elaborated, the let's say the pie is not getting much bigger, so the potential turnover that's in the market, so it will be a reallocation of turnovers there. I think mostly it will be the inner city, the pedestrian zone, by quite a bit. That's why you hear a little bit the outcry.
Mm.
And probably the inner city center, the Europa Passage and so.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Next question is from the line of Peter Papadakos of Green Street Advisors. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Willem. Sorry, I know it's been a long call. Just one question. Can you comment a little bit on what's happening in Poland with regards to the local the risks for property landlords and also your tenants as well in terms of potential taxes going up? How should we view that situation? Should we be modestly concerned, or should we be more worried than that?
Yeah, let me start, and then Olaf Borkers, who's just working on the financing, and the banks are also asking the question from that point of view. I give you my personal view. This is not only Poland. We have seen that already in Hungary, that these things come up, but many of them are turned down by the EU, or let's say the effects are mitigated, so that it's nothing really threatening. However, it's a development. This is probably why the net initial yield in Gdansk is still a little higher than in the German center. But we don't expect it to be dramatic for the time being. What we have seen is that the retailers, especially supermarkets and so on, that are being attacked there a little bit, find their ways around they circumvent it a little bit. So we have to follow it, but maybe the latest news on that, I can hand over to Olaf Borkers here.
Peter, me, Olaf. Yes, there is a special tax for retailers should be implemented of roughly 2% on the turnover. And this is should be done for those retailers which have a space of more than 400 square meters. So obviously international retailers are affected by this. And we currently see no problems for our debt financing. We discussed this also with a bank, which was surprised. It just took 2 hours, 2 weeks later to get the permission for the loan. But there is no big impact awaited for our shopping center, as the loan to value is very low. And as Wilhelm said to you, retailers often find another way. We will wait what will happen with discussions for new rents. We currently see no impact. The discussions or negotiations with our tenants in Poland are very, very positive, but that's mainly due to the high quality of our Galeria Batyczka. I do not know the impact on other shopping centers which are not as performing well as our Galeria.
Got it, okay. Thanks, Olaf.
All in all, not a nice development, to be honest. Yeah, there's protectionism, but we have to see and follow.
And what we did in concrete for our German bank, we gave this Hungary example to them because we saw what has happened with our Arcad page in the last 3 years, facing the same problems. They closed Sunday hours. They implemented additional tax for international retailers, and at the end, there was no bad impact on our shopping center, and at the end, there was a positive impact on the Hungarian economy. What we have heard from ECE guys there is that unemployment rates are decreasing, economy is performing better. So at the end, for our shopping center in Pécs, it had positive impacts. Frequency get higher, turnover per square meter increased, and rental income in the Arcad page also has increased. And that is a concrete example which we gave to our banks to show, listen, there's no need to be afraid.
Right. Okay. Thank you for that comment.
If you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. Next question is from Daniel Feldman of Timber Creek Asset Management.
Yeah, very good morning, gentlemen. This is Daniel. Two questions from my side. The first, I'd like to go on page 8. And sorry about that, but can you elaborate what the 20 bits difference is between the cap rate and the net initial yield that you show there? And the second question is about the investment criteria for the possible acquisition. I'm not sure if I missed that, but did you mention already in which kind of country we are talking about it? And if you do not want to disclose that, can we assume that this is Germany or out of Germany? And what kind of cap rate do we see? Should it be in line with the existing portfolio, or do you think, due to the investment market right now, that we need to see something that may be below the 5.13 that the portfolio is valued at? Thank you.
Yeah. First of all, we are talking about the German shopping center, but more I can't say. We'd love to do more abroad, but as I say, we are very opportunistical, and we have to wait when the deal comes up. The difference, I'm not sure where you're referring, it's more than 33 bips, not 20 bips or so, but the difference is how you look at it. If you look as a real estate guy on it, you would say my yield is 546, that's what I earn looking at the market value that I have in my balance sheet. But somebody else who would have to buy that would have rather substantial ancillary costs like the real estate transfer tax and so on, and some agency fees, and the price quotes that you get if you look or if you ask the markets, usually see net initial yield, and that is the cost you would have to pay to somebody, or the price, this is a market value, plus your extra cost that you have. So the net initial yield is roughly always 30, 35, 40 basis points lower than the net operating yield. That's what the property produces. Yeah. I hope that clears it. And
yeah.
If you put all our 19 shopping centers on a line, there is no A and B number that we could quote, and I've elaborated on that 2014. If you put them on the line, they are well below 5%, and they go all the way up the net initial yield to 6 point something for our Hungarian project. Yeah. So if we look at an individual shopping center, of course we benchmark it somehow to what it would probably be comparable to, but we couldn't say we would buy an A shopping center for that price or B for that price. Yeah, there are many, many ingredients. But of course, what we would want to make sure that it's at least producing on average the FFO that our portfolio is producing. Hopefully a little better, but with today's pricing, that's not so easy.
Okay. One more question. The original question was about the capitalization rate, which is on the sensitivity analysis 5.33 compared to the net initial yield, which is 5.13. So there's a spread of 20 bips. For me, capitalization rate is already net yield. So my understanding, or the question about the understanding, is where does this 20 bips come from?
Okay, sorry. Then I got your question wrong, but there's an answer. I mean, this is a cap rate where you cap out the stabilized cash flow in year, put it year 11, yeah, at the end of the detailed planning period. And Jones Lang LaSalle here includes some kind of, let's say, higher cap rate because of the aging of a shopping center.
All right.
Yeah? This is one input. The other input is that in the future you will have also fit-out costs for tenants and so on, and this is accounted for in this addition.
I see. And maybe the question with the yield of the potential acquisition, is this going to be in line with what we are talking here, or is this something which may be more compressed?
We try to be in the range of our existing valuations and hope to get it for that. And as I say, it's a continuum of years starting well below 5 and going all the way up. Yeah.
Perfect. Many thanks for that.
Mr. Wellner, there are no further questions at this time. Please continue with any other point you wish to raise.
Yeah, and I thank you for listening. Your question again. Happy Easter. Enjoy the couple of days. And then we'll hear next time for Q1 numbers. Yeah? Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now concluded and you may disconnect your telephone. Thank you for joining and have a pleasant day. Goodbye.